This is a special edition of the Jump Around, our Badger dedicated show, an extra version here. Pablo Iglesias, Jim Rutledge, we are in the Everlight Solar Studio, and we're on. Like, I don't even want to talk about the Maryland game. We are on to talk about the state of the program, Pablo.
Yeah, I think we all know how sour of a taste that was. It was just brutal. There's no other way to put it. How just the reaction was. I don't even know if gut punch is the right way to describe it. And it's not even just of how you lost the game, but to your point that you've talked about this too, Jim, it was you didn't want Wisconsin you wanted Wisconsin to bounce back in a better way. You wanted them to, you know, rebound. You thought that they could rebound from this. And now it's not even just like looking at like game by game, but it unfortunately shows like a big thing now with Luke Fickell in his third season, like how this team reacts after a loss like that to Alabama. It's just really concerning. That's just where I'm at right now in terms of the bigger picture, which just frankly just scares me. I don't know how else to put it right now.
Yeah, I feel like this is the beginning of the end of the Luke Fickell era.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he can't turn it around completely, but he didn't speak today as of, you know, last we heard, which is shocking. He normally talks. Chris McIntosh went out and sought out reporters after the game to tell people that he believes in Luke Fickell. But he did that for Paul Chris, too. So I don't know exactly what that means. But I think for all intents and purposes, and Riley Yauch is behind the glass here as part of the jump around, Pablo and Riley, I think for all intents and purposes, the Luke Fickell era is done at the University of Wisconsin.
Well, I will say, too, just to add some clarity on this one, is that usually in a bye week, they don't do availability, but still it's the fact that, again, I would like to hear something. I think that's what we want as Wisconsin fans, but I feel like in years past, that's just to clear that up. But again, it doesn't mask the frustration. It doesn't change anything in particular. But yeah, it does seem, because I did see the reports too when Mac had gone out and talked to reporters that he was trying to make sure the vote of confidence, essentially, like making sure that, no, he's still our guy. He's still, and I'll be frank too. I mean, I feel like that at the time still, I'm going to defend that Luke Fickell was the right hire. I think we're all pretty much in agreement at the time. So I don't think that if we go all the way back and Wisconsin fans are saying that, no, this was the wrong choice, this was a terrible idea at the moment, I wouldn't understand why you wouldn't hire Luke Fickell. He had the resume, he had the credentials, but to your point right now, it feels like that we're seeing like a closer version, or we're getting closer to, you know, the end. Riley said this on the post-game show too. It feels like the season's over. It's tough. We're the two of us, you know, I don't know. We've, as a team too, we put together the 7-5 schedule early in the summer, man. And now all of a sudden it's like, what room for hope do we have? We saw Indiana throttle Illinois. I have no confidence in that game, not to get too far in the schedule, but it's just like, where is hope? It doesn't feel like that there is a lot of hope right now with this season.
No, it definitely does not. And Pablo, you've been a reporter here for a longer period of time. I feel like usually, even if there's not availability this week during the bye week, isn't there communication on it? Or is there? Am I wrong on that?
I will have to punt on that one. And I don't know if there's usually communication, at least saying like, hey, it's a bye week. There will be no press conference. I'm going under the assumption. So that's just what I'll say from there. But yeah, I don't know really where else to go with it, honestly, just in terms of like the reactions and when I talked to the players after the game or when I was around scrums. I think one thing that stood out to me that really concerns me in terms of the state of the program and where we're at come year three with Luke Fickell is that it was pointed out that why they lost that game was the lack of execution in certain points in the fundamentals. Not saying that they didn't, they were terribly fun. Well, I mean, let's be real. Luke Fickell actually pointed out too in his press conference saying that when you get a punt that's blocked and a field goal that's blocked, how do you create momentum in a game like that early? Like, you have to execute at some point on special teams too. It's not just about winning on offense and defense. It's about winning on special teams too. But the fact that it's being pointed out from players that, hey, we have a little bit of an issue of executing the fundamentals across the board, that concerns me because it's not necessarily a player thing. Like, is it a coaching thing? And I mean, that's kind of what it comes down to, if you ask me.
Well, it's both. And if you're running a college football program, you're accountable for your players. You recruit all these players, you bring all these players in. And the Alabama Crimson Tide may have ended the Badgers season. Because I don't know if the Badgers win again. I don't even want to play the schedule game, but if you played the schedule game, you're not picking a Badger victory out there anywhere. So now we're talking about how much does it cost to get rid of Luke Fickell. It's $25, $26 million at the end of this season. That's a big number. But you cannot, unless he turns this around and gets 5-6 victories, which isn't great, but you cannot sit here and tell the program, tell the fans that things are good and we're going to roll with Fickell going forward. Because I know the alumni, whether it's former players or graduates, are very upset. I had countless texts from former players talking about who they could bring in, why they're out on Fick, why they're out maybe even on Mac. And you have the stadium emptier than it's ever been. Those numbers they announce are not the numbers of people coming through the gate. You have the university basically trying to give away tickets so the stadium looks fuller than it actually is. How many of those people, they actually paid for a ticket at these games? Like, it is dire straits as far as the interest in this program. And now they're not winning. It'd be one thing if they're winning boring and people weren't showing up, but they're not showing up and they're not winning. And I think Luke Fickell is on his way out. To your point, the Mac part is more difficult. I don't know if I trust Mac hire someone going forward, but the Luke Fickell hire at the time made a lot of sense. And so we can start with that, and then we can talk about some names here. But in the moment, Luke Fickell being hired when he was hired made a lot of sense. Jim Leonard's still not a head coach anywhere, let alone in college. Jim Leonard, I had a plan for recruiting, but by all accounts, Jim Leonard was not someone himself that wanted to go out and recruit. He was more the old school, when the players get here, I'll be the finisher, the closer here, not the I'm going to pound the streets, I'm going to be the rah-rah guy that Luke Fickell and Brett Bielema is with Indiana, and Illinois and Indiana's coach is, and the type of coach you have to be nowadays. Jim Leonard didn't seem like he really wanted to be that guy. So I guarantee they probably would have looked sharper, and they maybe win 6 games 3 years in a row, including this year. I still don't know if that puts the program in a great spot. So, yeah, maybe we're not as embarrassed right now if we had Jim Leonard as our coach, because it wouldn't be as sloppy or as disjointed. But I don't know if it's a lot better. So the process of hiring Luke Fickell, I think, was the right idea big swing, but it just didn't work out.
With Leonard, too, I think he was 4-3 against the Big Ten West with his starting quarterback in Graham Mertz. Like, that's if fans are really trying to, and I was a huge Jim Leonard fan. I think great person.
Love Jim Leonard. Yeah,
yeah, really just a good guy across the board. And he was also vocal because this was the start of NIL and the transfer portal being a lot more prominent to what it is today, and he was very vocal about tampering and making sure that he was not afraid to voice his opinions. Don't get me wrong, but in terms of, especially in this transitional period that we're in right now, I don't know if that you know would have translated completely well if Jim Leonard was the head coach, because of simply the different things that you have to do as a head coach. This isn't a knock on him personally. It's just more of where we're at in college football. And yeah, that's why you go out and get Luke Fickell. But ever since, like, what changes have we truly seen? What growth have we really seen outside of, okay, like, it felt like that we were, you know, getting a bunch of different transfers out of the portal. We saw this guy was a 4-star or 3-star when consensus just coming out. A lot of talent was coming in. But this isn't a video game either. You can't just slap talent and hope for the best. Like, these guys all have to develop chemistry. And like we've said, you know, getting to know the guys over the last few months, too, is feels like that these guys are connected. It feels like this team is together. But again, it's about how it translates to on the field right now. And it just seems like, for a multitude of reasons right now, how is it not clicking? How is it not clicking is just my big concern, and trying to figure out exactly what that answer is right now.
If I was to get out of crystal ball, I would say that Luke Fickell will not be here next year at this time. I think Chris McIntosh will be. And I think Badger fans have to kind of wrap their brain around that. I'm not even saying that he should, but I'm also not going to pretend I know what an athletic director does and doesn't do and what's happening behind the scenes. But I would imagine that Luke Fickell would get a second chance to hire, because honestly, the more fireable offense would have been if he could have had Luke Fickell and hired Jim Leonard and it turned out like this. Like, that would have been a bigger error, because you could have had a premier coach at the time. Fickell was flirting with Notre Dame at one point in his career. So the hiring and everything behind hiring Luke Fickell makes a lot of sense. Also, he had a system for NIL, but it didn't work. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what Mac does going forward. I'm going to throw some names at you guys. You could go in-house, like as far as former Badger. You could go with Jason Eck, who a lot of former Badger players have texted me. I believe he's head coach in New Mexico right now. You have Lance Leipold, who was a GA at Wisconsin, and he is coaching at Kansas, but he won at Whitewater.
Knows how to recruit like to those levels too.
Yes, he won at Buffalo, and now he's winning at Kansas. So he's winning at multiple levels. He might be too ingrained at Kansas. Oh, I don't know if he'd want to. I mean, I do think he loves the state of Wisconsin, but still, he's ingrained at Kansas. Those are some head coaches with some ties to the state with college football experience. Another name out there is Mike McCarthy, and then I guess who was in the box at a suite with Chris McIntosh. It's an interesting one.
Yeah.
And then also, Jim Leonard, but I don't. I'm not reporting this. I just don't think Jim Leonard's coming back here as long as Mac is in charge.
Yeah. I like where the head's at too with Eck, just simply because of like where we're at in this era of moving towards probably a more offensive head coach. I think that's it feels like the right move, at least in my sense too, or maybe of where you want to go more for the Badgers. I know Chris had a little bit of a downslide, hence why he ended up getting removed, but he was an offensive guy. He was an offensive-minded dude. So, just for me, it's like, is the right move to go more offensive-minded? Moving forward, it's just for me, it's just a tough situation because I was talking to Owen Dimple, our newest addition to the team here at ESPN Madison, of just saying, like, I am just really sick of the memories that I have had covering Wisconsin football right now being told of, like, what the memories were of the good days, because I love hearing, even from you two guys, like, yep. I love hearing stories of, oh, man, this is what it was like when Jonathan Taylor was just running all over everybody on Saturdays. This is what this offense looked like. The Orange Bowl. I'm only living off of memories and not based off of, like, firsthand experience and coverage, and it just kind of always feels like I'm living through your guys' nostalgia. I've never truly experienced, like, the hype. Like, the first game that I covered, I'll always remember, was the Penn State loss in week one, and that was my first experience here. Jump around was great, but it was like you're still losing to Penn State in the first game back in almost like 600 something days because of the COVID season, and that was my kickoff to Wisconsin football. It's just, I don't know how else to say it, man. It just sucks. Like, that's where I'm at.
Yeah, it does suck. That was my first game as a student, so we have that similar starting spot, at least since I got to college. And I mentioned this a little bit on the post-game show, and it harkens back to something Matt LaPay said last week on the Barry Alvarez show, where Fickell is looking for guys and seems to be unsuccessfully looking for guys to where the W means something. Like, Jim, you and I, like, we've been around this program for, you've been around and covering it for decades now. I've grown up with it my entire life. Like, the W means something. And there are thousands and tens and hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of Badgers out there in the world where the W means everything to them. So I think Wisconsin, when they're searching for the next head coach, would it be great? I would still love it if Fickell could somehow resuscitate this program from the ashes. I've moved on past that. I don't think it's going to happen. But whoever the next head coach is, I don't care who they are. I don't care about their background. They have to know what they're coming into. They have to be willing to put in the work to build the relationships with all the people here that care so deeply about this program and care so much about the Wisconsin Badgers. They have to care. The W has to mean something to them. That's all I want. I want the passion. I want them to care. And so far, it hurts to like accuse Luke Fickell of this. I don't want it to sound like I'm accusing of him not caring. But so far, we have not seen that from him. We have not seen that from the guys on the field. And that's why I'm so frustrated right now. It just hurts.
I think you want someone where Wisconsin's their dream job.
Mm-hmm.
And Luke Fickell's dream job is not Wisconsin.
Yeah.
It would definitely be Ohio State. And that's not a knock on him. And I sometimes think this doesn't matter, but realistically, this really feels like it matters. Like, I don't know if Indiana's coach, like, that's his dream job, so it doesn't matter there. But in general, I think for the most part, you want at Wisconsin someone where this is their dream job. So either they understand and embrace the culture, which means they are bringing back players, trying to bring in former players as assistants, or it's someone who actually was here. And so that to me is the important part. I wanted to touch on a couple names and just kind of take your temperature on it. But I did come up with a staff that I would like for a dream staff. I don't know if it would be assembled like this because I think Lance Leipold would have his own player or his own staff. I know he brought people from Whitewater to Buffalo and then to Kansas, so he might have his own handpicked names. But if I could just pick one myself, I'd pick Lance Leipold as the head coach. He's won at every level. He goes consistently to bowl games at Kansas. They run the football at Kansas. They have playmakers at Kansas. He won at Buffalo, and obviously he was an all-time champion at Whitewater. Offensive coordinator, I said Darrell Bevell. Scott Tolzien could be another name. Darrell Bevell, the only knock would be the recruiting side of it, but Darrell Bevell has been a longtime offensive coordinator in the NFL, knows what it means to be a Badger, knows what it means to recruit here, understands the culture, and I believe is passing game coordinator and maybe co-OC down in Miami. Defensive coordinator, I want Jay Valai. I believe Oklahoma's undefeated. He is, I think, co-defensive coordinator out there and safeties coach, so he's got, you know, the resume to be a defensive coordinator. He played here, knocked the M off of a Minnesota player's helmet. Used to keep that in his drawer. I don't know if he still does.
That's awesome.
But he's coached a little bit with the Chiefs, I think a little bit of Alabama, a little bit of Oklahoma. Like, he has been around a little bit, but in a good way. He's not getting let go. He's getting promoted, and I think he's an up-and-coming name in coaching. And then I want Joe Thomas. I want Soup Campbell. I want Chris Orr. I want Melvin Gordon, Monte Ball, James White. I want all those players around the program with more direct influence, not like a
if you could have them as advisors even. Yeah. Or what's James White role? Is he the running backs coach? Or either way, he's still, or when it was
whatever,
when
he's it was, doing at Illinois.
Yeah, yeah, with Northern Illinois, he was, yeah, more of like, he wasn't a coaching title, but it was kind of feeling it out, taking the temperature.
Illinois, who, I mean, karma got smoked by Indiana, and Indiana got
Riley Nowakowski, though. Tight end.
Yeah.
Cool, I was wrong. I thought Indiana was fraudulent. They're not.
No.
Which Illinois makes me even more concerned now. Wisconsin's going to Indiana.
Illinois looks fraudulent.
Yes.
Yes.
Makes that game look a little more winnable.
The reason why I said the karma obviously is a shot at Bielema, but Bielema, how many points did he put on Indiana when was it back in the day here?
83-20 was the final score. 83-20,
yeah. I think Kevin Wilson was the coach at Indiana at that time. So obviously Indiana as a program remembered that. Put 63 on Brett.
This is a massive Cignetti apologist moment right now. It's
Cignetti.
They look legit, and they're doing it pretty well right now too.
So I'm gonna walk through some names here, and we can just give a thumbs up. If you have a thought on it, great. If not, you can just move on. But let's start with Lance Leipold.
Love it. Yeah. I feel like that's a natural fit. Whitewater connection, in-state guy.
He did coach here at one level,
exactly,
at one time. Yep.
And he's successful at Kansas right now. I don't know if he'd leave, but I like it.
Deeper Wisconsin ties than most. I mean, if people are saying that we need a guy that's more connected to Wisconsin, then if Lance Leipold feels like it has to be the guy if we're putting the wish list together.
Mike McCarthy.
I don't hate it. I do not hate that idea. I'm still trying to figure out why he was with Chris McIntosh at the volleyball game. Like, I'm wondering why Mac did that. Because he did it. There's a lot of intentionality behind showing up in a public area after that bad of a loss with a former Super Bowl champion head coach. Just very interesting to me. But I like that. He's got the pedigree. He clearly loves the state of Wisconsin. He moved back here the second he left Dallas. I think he would care about the program and would put in the necessary work to resuscitate it. So I'm down. I'm kind of in on Mike McCarthy.
I, at first, was iffy. Same to Riley, too, trying to figure out what the heck he was doing here exactly. I mean, if it's potentially even a GM role, or I don't know if the advisor similar to what Jack Del Rio did would be interesting, because it is somebody who has that pro perspective. But almost looking at this now and just thinking of like how Matt Rhule has come in and changed Nebraska, and yeah, he has Dylan Raiola, but I mean, part of that too was recruiting because of that. And you know what, if you have a guy like Matt Rhule who didn't have like a super successful NFL coaching career, and he could come around or come into Nebraska and help turn things around and help bring them back to prominence. I mean, a guy like McCarthy, who has been at a successful level, won a Super Bowl too. I think that's the thing where it's like college and pro now almost feel, I guess in a way, not interchangeable, but they feel like they're almost at the same level now in terms of like, okay, getting these guys to the next level, like that's where you bring in Mike McCarthy, who has clearly this pro experience, who has this pro success, who's worked with, he's worked with Aaron Rodgers, he's worked with Dak Prescott. He has a really good track record. So, I mean, why not? I think it could work out. And I think like honestly within the last 5 minutes, I've convinced myself that Mike McCarthy actually would be a pretty decent pick.
It's all about the recruiting there. Obviously, Belichick is a current name everyone knows as a guy who's taken over at North Carolina. Matt Rhule, you talked about. Jim Harbaugh, Chip Kelly, Herm Edwards. Pete Carroll did it when he got fired from New England, went to USC, went back to the NFL. Apparently, Bobby Petrino, Lane Kiffin, Jim Mora all had, I think that's Jim Mora Sr., which I definitely remember him with the Saints, all made that change from college to, or excuse me, NFL to the college levels. It's different. So to me, McCarthy would all depend on the staff, but I'm not saying take a hometown discount, but he has big buyout from Dallas. So maybe there is sort of a interim, he could be the head coach and go back to Scott Tolzien. I believe Scott Tolzien spent time with Mike McCarthy in Green Bay, obviously, and then I believe down in Dallas too. So that could be a tie there where you have a Scott Tolzien as a coach in waiting.
I mean, honestly, if you want to become an NFL factory too, there's no better way to do that than bringing in guys who have the NFL coaching experience, who know exactly what that level is. So, yeah, I mean, shoot, why not?
Pat Fitzgerald.
I don't know. I'm not sold on Pat Fitzgerald. I know you're a fan of him, Jim, but other than he won one Big Ten West championship with Northwestern, went to one Big Ten championship game, there's nothing that I can think of off the top of my head that makes me go, yes, I really want Pat Fitzgerald as my future head coach. I don't see what he brings.
110 wins, 101 losses, 5-5 in bowl games, and it's really, you're making that projection of like, he can do that at Northwestern, and you think Wisconsin's got restrictions back in the day on budgets, and you know that stadium is who wants to go play at that stadium?
Ryan Field.
Yeah, and right. And
there's no momentum. It's so flat in that stadium. I don't even know what the new one's going to look like, but it just,
new one looks nicer.
But I'm sure it's going to be way better.
It's flashier.
Yeah,
they have to turn off the lights apparently though by like 9:30 or 10 p.m. or something like that. It's the neighborhood association has way too much of a grip on Ryan Field.
Right.
That's my quick soapbox.
It's a projection. He won the Big Ten, 18-20 is what I see here, Big Ten West division titles. So a couple coach of the years. I'm not saying he's covering himself in glory. I'm just saying that I just think that the discipline issues, the sloppiness, that sort of things. And obviously, as I mentioned, discipline there. He has been cleared of all wrongdoing and everything that was going on at Northwestern. Yeah. There was no way, and he sued. He won his countersuit. There was no tie of him knowing anything that was going on with that severe hazing at Northwestern that was brought to his table that he was aware of. Now, you can make a case that he should have been, but worth noting why I'm bringing his name up is he was cleared of all wrongdoing at Northwestern. Otherwise, I never would have brought his name up.
Yeah, I actually surprisingly heard this yesterday when I was at the Wisconsin volleyball game. I ended up catching a conversation with different people on the concourse, and we ended up talking about Northwestern, and I got a perspective from from a Northwestern fan essentially saying like that how much Pat Fitzgerald loved that program, being a former Northwestern guy, being a guy who just dedicated everything in those four seasons and coached them to as high as he could. Like, it just brought that passion in. It's something that, you know, again, from at least how he tries to institute that culture, like, it seemed like they just felt like that he is somebody that is deserving of a head coaching job simply because of like who he is like as a leader and like what type of culture, at least from his side. Obviously, yeah, it's, and like what you said too, Jim, it's yeah, the fact that he's absolved from everything or now been moved away from all of that went down with the program, hence is why he ended up getting fired. But it just at least seemed like that there was a very like huge resounding message that like this is a guy that you want to believe in. This is a good guy. He is somebody that is a leader, cares, and wants to do everything that they possibly can to make sure that they put together like a good winning team with a good heart, from what it seems like.
Jason Eck is another name. Currently head football coach at New Mexico. They're 2-1. He was a offensive coordinator at Minnesota State Mankato. They won two consecutive Northern Sun Intercollegiate Conference championships in 2013 and 2014, reached the NCAA Division II championship game. South Dakota State served as the offensive coordinator for 3 years, led the Jackrabbits to 3 semifinal appearances and a national championship game appearance. Then at Idaho, was 26-13 overall, 19-5 in the Big Sky Conference, 3 consecutive FCF playoff berths, advancing to the quarterfinals in 2023 and 2024. And so here's what it notes here. Bringing a culture of winning brought excitement to the program and increased his wins each season. So Jason Eck now at New Mexico winning again, former Badger Connect. And now they're all either overlapped with Jason or similar to his era, but Jason Eck is a guy that multiple Badgers have mentioned as someone that they would love to coach the program.
It's a creative offensive mind. I think that would be fun. I mean, I know that everybody was very excited, at least at face value, when the air raid was introduced in terms of the execution. That didn't go well. We know exactly. That is exactly why we're at this point right now, is partly because the air raid. Not to say that that's the full blame, but it is definitely there's a portion of it.
Mm-hmm.
That is why we are here talking about this right now. But if executed properly and all that, yeah, why not? Why not get a guy who is offensive-minded first? I mean, again, that doesn't mean that you're going to go air raid. That means more of you know exactly how to execute and how to make sure that this offense runs smoothly. So I'd be for it.
Yeah, I love it at face value. I think my only concern, which is a pretty small concern, is I'd just love to see a little more success on the FBS level. So I'll be very curious to see where New Mexico fares this season. And do we know much about his recruiting? Clearly he's had a lot of success. I'm assuming he doesn't struggle in the recruiting department. But those would be the only concerns. If former Badgers, prominent former Badgers, are excited about this guy, I like it. He's got the connection, and this does seem like he'd fit the bill. This would be his dream job. So I would definitely not complain about this hire. I'd be excited about it. I'd just like to see a little more this season. We'll see.
I don't think it'll happen. I don't think anything's coming this way, but Jim Leonard. I don't have to really describe Jim Leonard to anyone, but I don't see him happening.
It's done.
And I don't think... No. I don't think...
We just need to put this... We need to put that one to rest. Yeah. As much as... We said it in this episode, too. I love Jim Leonard. Yep. Great guy. Awesome guy to get to know. It just doesn't work. His coaching style is vastly different to what today's college football is today. More so from the recruiting side and all that. I just feel like that it's... not his MO. I think he never said it verbatim, but it just felt like that, how he gave off. He's like, nah, that's not really my vibe. He loves football. He's a smart guy. Was a great defensive coordinator when he was here, but just based off of where we're at now, more so with college football, I just don't know if it's the right marriage.
Yeah, you're right, and he's in the NFL now, and I saw some people being like, oh, well, he could be coaching here tomorrow. He's not coming through that door, and two things can be true. Luke Fickell could have been the wrong hire, and it doesn't mean Jim Leonard was the right hire. Honestly, I will die on this hill. The boat that they missed, and I'm not saying they didn't pursue it, but the boat that they missed was Lance Leipold.
Mm-hmm. I mean, couldn't you also argue, too, that there's probably, let's address it, a chip on the shoulder based off of how it all happened towards the end of
the
year, too?
Well, that's why I'm pretty sure he will not come back, no matter what.
I would love for Jim Leonard to be here again, but I'm sure, too, that didn't leave a great taste in the mouth after all that. I mean, yeah, you lost the Axe game, and who knows if that was the big thing that decided your fate. All in all, though, I could also understand that side, too. It definitely feels like a little bit of a tough situation. I know this is a business, and you want to win football games, and you want to be a successful, prominent program, but wouldn't be surprised if personal feelings also are out here, too, where it just, hey, you know what? I'm done. That's cool. Good luck. I'm gonna take my talents elsewhere. Then
I feel you're gonna say South Beach.
I am actually. That's this is my decision now. I'm going to South Beach.
The LeBron of the jump around.
Yes.
Pablo Iglesias.
ESPN West Paul. We're taking the jump around.
Anyone have any other names you want to throw out there? Or
this is one I just saw. Andy Kotlinicki, the Penn State offensive coordinator. Hmm. He coached under Leipold.
Yes, he did.
At Whitewater.
Yep.
And he's, for all intents and purposes, an awesome offensive coordinator at Penn State. He's had a lot of success. So that would be, I'd be very curious about that. I'd be very curious if he would be interested and
so
just throw some feelers out.
My understanding is, one, obviously he's a very good offensive mind, and my understanding was that Grimes was kind of brought in late and asked to run that offense at Kansas, and that was kind of why the marriage didn't work, is that Kansas was in the lurch for an OC. Grimes was available and looked for a job and had Grimes, and that's Ari Temkin, I believe, told us that, but that basically he kind of had to run an offense that wasn't fully designed by his. Not like anyone did anything wrong. It was just more of the timing of it. They didn't have time to install everything. It was more of hey, who's willing to come in here and run what Kotlinicki ran? And so I like that name too. I think there'll be more names coming up. The Badgers might have to go, I'd say this, on the cheap.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Lance Leipold is not going to be cheap.
No, Kotlinicki, if I was him, I don't know if I'm leaving Penn State, a potential national championship contender, to come here right now.
That says a lot about the program. If he doesn't leave Penn State to be, I don't know if he's from Wisconsin, but if he coached at Whitewater and to run a Power 5 conference school, oof. That's the other thing we're not addressing here. And I know we're running a little long here, but there's a whole recruiting issue. And I know they just got a player today, but that doesn't mean much of anything. There's a whole recruiting issue, not just like how they're going to recruit under Luke Fickell. A new coach comes in, they're going to recruit all new players. This roster will be emptied out. Like, that's the.
You think it's down bad now? When that happens, it can unfortunately be pretty down bad.
No, it could be down bad and look, Indiana turning around in year one.
Yeah.
With Cignetti. Fair enough. Like, it can be. It can be looked at as a glass half full sort of thing, too. So, like, you have to kind of figure out how to manage it and how to move forward with it. But it is one of those things where recruiting is going to be a nightmare. You have to figure out how to pay off Luke Fickell / still pay players / pay a new coach. That's all part of this as well.
Motivate donors.
Like,
you got to keep fans excited.
You got to find a coach that's going to get donors that want to pony up. There's a lot of things in here. I do want to say this. I don't want John Gruden.
No. I've seen that name floated. Everyone's throwing that name out there because of the one speech
the thing is I see a bunch of memes being made now about the Pound the Rock thing. It's like, well, you can't have both. You can't have the head coach who's saying Pound the Rock, and then you're making a bunch of memes mocking Pound the Rock. No, that's not how this is going to work. At least that's just from my perspective.
He is, and I don't think Belichick's doing well at North Carolina's my...
They shouldn't have put them on the Monday night game, too, in week one.
But I'm just saying that I
was
think
terrible.
That was bad.
This would be a Belichick-type move for the Badgers that's just screaming, look at us.
Yes.
He hasn't coached at all since 2023. He was a consultant then, but head coach was 2021. So that's 4 years ago in Vegas. And he hasn't coached in college since... it says Pittsburgh 1991. I don't know if that's... I'm guessing that's the university because it doesn't say Steelers behind it. So 1991 was the last time he coached in college. And he is 60.
The game's changed just a little bit since 1991.
He's 62 years old.
Yeah.
And I know McCarthy... We talked about McCarthy, but McCarthy at least coached last year. Mm-hmm. He has Wisconsin ties, and if they brought him in... Again, I would put a big circle around Scott Tolzien coming here and be a guy that could be the coach in waiting at Wisconsin as McCarthy kind of slowly hands the program over. And then Tolzien could reach out to, back to this, Tolzien could reach out to Jay Vilai, defensive coordinator. So he knows Jay Vilai. He could reach out to other players who are coaches in certain places. Maybe you can pluck Illinois's got a boatload of Badgers down there. Maybe you could pluck a James White back to Wisconsin if he wants to get into coaching. Maybe you could bring a Chris Orr in as linebackers coach. You know, he's, I think, an assistant linebackers coach with the Chiefs. Obviously, the NFL is a great job, but as I just talked about, Jay Vilai went from the NFL to college.
Get some of the Watts back involved.
Yeah. Whoever, does Derek Watt want to coach? The other ones are probably too rich and too busy to care to do so, but get him involved on a hype level. Mm-hmm. But like Chris Orr is coaching, bring him in. I think there's other coaches out there, so bring in people who have ties to the program and build this thing up. Because the reason why I said like Jay Vilai and Chris Orr are very cut from the same cloth, so I think both those guys could really bring a lot of energy and a lot of physicality to that defense. And then offensively, with Tolzien, you get back to the Paul Chris type offense, just without the Paul Chris mentality of recruiting players.
You guys know much about Fran Brown, the Syracuse head coach?
I don't.
Like, that's he just came across when I saw an interview about he wasn't vouching to poach guys, but more of like just the relationships in terms of transfer portal guys. He had said, I'll let you guys leave it to the imagination. But basically, I ain't no blank when it comes to all those things. I love the attitude. At least he's a 43-year-old dude. So, I mean, maybe you bring
young
in
guy.
that young perspective. And just like at least just from how he interacted in that interview, he was very real. Now in terms of where he's at, I mean, it looks like he's 13-4 as a head coach over there at Syracuse's second season. I mean, I think it's a long shot, but if we're throwing out names, I might as well just point that out. I think that's whether it's somebody that has the Wisconsin ties or somebody that is real. And it is just like I'm gonna be straight up and say this. I'm not saying that Luke Fickell isn't a real guy. He has said it too. Like on Saturday, he's like, I hope you guys know that. Like, I forgot what it was. Basically, like he was saying, he's not a sugarcoater.
Yep.
He does give it straight, but it's just at least from like what I had seen from Fran Brown, there was something a little different there. That's my cup of tea.
Yeah, my friend brought him up to me as well. He randomly just shot me a list of his coaches that he wanted. He put John Gruden on there, and I'm like, no.
No.
But Fran Brown was his number one choice, which I thought was interesting. But I love the energy. Yeah. He's successful at Syracuse. I don't know if he would leave Syracuse right now, but you saw. I'm assuming you guys saw the video of him making his team do sprints after a game. I think it was week two. That would be fun. And I think overall, I hate how excited this conversation's making me. Because that just shows where we're at now. Like, thinking about the future, like, oh, man, yeah, maybe this guy could resuscitate the program and bring us back.
Welcome to being a Bears fan, right?
Yeah, I know.
That's what Jim and I go through.
I don't like it. I don't like it at all.
I'll say this. I think I can speak for the whole group. Like, none of us want Fickell to fail.
No.
All of us want this to turn around and it looks really good. What I don't want is middling. I don't want them to pull out two more victories and then Mac try to sell us so we can get another year of Fick, because that's going to be a bummer. I did see some Cincinnati fans say that they would take Fick back right now. I don't know how Cincinnati's doing, so maybe that negates the buyout some. Maybe we can negotiate it down some, because I believe it would be the second biggest buyout in college football history for a head coach, and I don't know how the Badgers...
I believe that's at the end of the season, too.
Yes.
So, like, it goes down, I believe, as the season
I guess on that note,
goes on.
There's no coach in waiting on this team, so I don't know who you would fire Fickell for and then put in as a head coach.
Yeah, there's absolutely no reason to fire Fickell right now.
No.
None.
No, you made your bed, you lay in it, and hopefully you can fix it, and we'll be excited about how well you made the corners on the bed and you could bounce a quarter off it or whatever it is that you're supposed to be able to do when you make a really great bed. But none of us want to see Fickell fired. It's still better for the program for Fickell to somehow figure out how to turn it around. But we just don't see it happening. So that's why we wanted to do today's show, to get people's responses to it. And we're looking forward to seeing them in the YouTube stream. And you can continue to chime in on those 844-770-3776. That's our Carbo's Talking text line. List is more. You can share all those as well. But for Pablo Iglesias, Riley Yauch, I'm Jim Rutledge, and this has been a Jump Around Extra on the ESPN Madison's YouTube stream.